I want you to understand I'm squeezing 10 days into less than 30 minutes. So keep your heart open, keep your mind open, and believe me, if you ever want to talk about it, I'll not stop talking about it because I had such an amazing time. This was a life experience that I can never duplicate, but I hope to go back very, very, very soon. So Israel, the Holy Land, travel day one. We flew from Buffalo, New York. We went to New York City, and we hooked up with Victor. You'll see Pastor Victor. Oh, bro, you're going way too fast now. You'll see Pastor Victor there. I told Polly, I said, I'm going to go fast, so you better be paying attention. So you'll see Pastor Victor, and that's Pastor Dan from this area. And there I am in a hotel. And then, so we're in the air, and then I said, oh, my gosh, that's a picture from the plane. This is actually happening. If many of you know, this is an area you've seen in the news. It's called the West Bank, Tel Aviv. You'll see this in the news. So I was like, at that point, I was like, okay, this is happening. Just what I'm thinking. The bishop, the Right Reverend Bishop, this is Herson. He became one of my best friends in 24 hours. Do you know how a lot of times you go to a place and you say, you know what, this is what's going to happen, and that's what's going to happen, and then all of a sudden, you know, I want something to happen, and I have these plans, and then God says, well, you know what, I don't care what you had planned, I got something else. These guys walk into the hotel in New York City. I immediately connected with this guy and Pastor Eli. Next slide, go ahead, Pastor Eli. And Eli actually spoke to me. We spent lots and lots of time together. You'll see these guys. And God loves to use the people when we least expect it. Believe me when I tell you, I was not at all open to a lot of things going on this trip. I went on a trip with 30 pastors, so I was guarded. If any of you have traveled with pastors sometimes, they're an exciting group of people. So I'm kind of guarded, and these guys walk in, I immediately connected with them, became great friends, or great friends today, but Eli gave me a word, he said, man, it's urgent, and I'll explain more about that. Come on, now you're slowing down, Polly. We get off the plane, and I mean, this is ours, welcome to Israel, boom, there it is. Day two, and believe me when I tell you day two, the plane trip was long, that was a day. So day two, first day in the hotel, it's in Tel Aviv, Harold's Hezrel Hotel. You could see that's very normal. It's a normal place. If any of you had a desire to go there and you have reservations, it's a very normal place, very safe. As you look at that hotel, maybe you have preconceived notions of how the area will look. Very normal, Polly. Day three, Caesarea, we went to the Roman capital of Judea. It's a beautiful Roman theater that we went to. And we're talking, you know how we say houses around here are built in the 1800s? These are thousands of years old where we were. So just to see this was just amazing. Paulie, when I end a sentence, amazing, that's when you go. This was our tour guide. He was just fantastic. We learned lessons that will last me a lifetime. This is a piece of stone that was found. And basically, it was used as a walkway. Are you recording me right now? Okay. Yeah. Mike Brown, I love you, man. You are awesome. Mike Brown had a profound impact on my life. He probably doesn't even realize how much. This piece of stone was found in a actual walkway. And when they turned it over, archaeologists found it, and they turned it over. It had actual scripture written on it from thousands of years ago. I mean, how amazing that they just said, oh, you know what, this will work, and they placed it. But how many times in our lives do we feel like we're the stone being walked on? And that really clicked with me. Sometimes I feel like I'm the stone being walked on, and that I know I have something great and beautiful underneath. And as you turn that over, I mean, I began to weep looking at this. Maybe it doesn't connect with you yet, but as you think about it later, you'll think, wow, I do feel like I get walked on once in a while. Nathan, I see you shaking your head. I love you. So there we are. Absolutely beautiful Roman theater. Go ahead, Polly. As you look at that, it's built overlooking the water. It's absolutely beautiful. As you see the marble on the ground there, the Romans brought that marble in. Go ahead, Polly.
And this is all original, the marble. And there's no marble in Israel. So the Romans brought this in. Marvel.
The Romans actually brought that in because marble is so beautiful. They said, okay, let's just bring marble in. That's the kind of place that I was in, just absolutely stunningly beautiful. Yeah, as you can see, tourists taking pictures. Go ahead, Paulie. And that's King Harald's palace. You'll be able to see in the next slide, that's what's left of it. That's Caesarea. As you look at that map, I just took a picture of that. As you look at that, that's what used to be there. I mean, you know, obviously hundreds and thousands of years ago. But when you look at that and then you look at what's left there, you can see the history that's there. Just amazing. Keep going, Paulie. And I said, now these are the two guys that I'm with. These two pastors are just amazing. I love them like brothers. I said, can you take a picture of me? And that's what he took, and so he ended up taking a picture of me. I love those guys. This is the ruins. Obviously, you could see, you saw the picture of the guy holding it up before. Keep going. You can see, so that's the outlet, and that's actually where the pool, King Harald's pool, was right there, right in the middle there, and you can see how they're trying to preserve it right now. I got to meet some cool kids. These kids were 17, 18, and 19 years old. They are actually in the military, and those are real live guns, and they do not mess around. Those guys were all grabbing sandwiches, and what an amazing experience to talk to them. And just at 17, 18, 19 years old, one of them was our equivalent of a sergeant. At 19 years old, he was making life and death decisions for lots of people. So that was amazing. I love talking to those guys. So we jumped on a boat and we rode in the Sea of Galilee. So many of you know, how many of you know the Sea of Galilee in the Bible? I mean, how many great things happen, right? How many amazing things happen? Chuck, I was thinking of you today. You know, teachings, there's hundreds of teachings on the Sea of Galilee, but that's where Peter walked on water, or where Jesus walked on water, and Peter, he said, come on out. Jesus said, cast your nets on this side of the boat, and all of a sudden they caught a bunch of fish, almost too many for the boat. All of Jesus' teachings were around this area. So we went out in this boat, and I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, it was one of my favorite experiences. We stopped in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and we just got to just feel what it was like. And you just close your eyes and you picture yourself being in the same spot that Jesus was. There we are. We're in this boat, and it's an older-looking boat. There's Eli and Hurston just kind of hanging out. We were praying, and we were talking about our experience, and we got, of course, another group picture. Keep going. And then we stop for lunch. And obviously, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't go and look up some of this stuff, this is real. This is the Bible coming to life. If you don't know these stories, your heart will just, if you ever get a chance, you need to go. Quick stop for lunch. Go back, Paulie. One. We actually, that's a fish. That is a fish. Now, I picked all the meat off of it, and what was left was what you would imagine looking at as a fish. Can you imagine? It was amazing, but it was a new experience for me, that's for sure. So then we got to go. This was absolutely probably one of, this was my favorite. The Mount of Beatitudes, the site of the Sermon on the Mount. What an amazing experience. Can you imagine Jesus overlooking this? Go ahead, Paulie, to the next one. This is a Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, the statements dealt with the attitude of the obligation towards serving the Lord. So at that time, people almost felt obligated towards serving the Lord. Instead, he taught about having a relationship with God, and your attitude is almost as important as how you feel and how your relationships. And so he deals with this, and in Luke, he brought them down to the slope where he also taught the crowds. In the 1930s, this church that you'll see was built to remember the location. Now, we don't know the exact location that Jesus gave this Sermon on the Mount, but this is approximately, and let me tell you, it was very amazing. Go ahead, Paulie. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, every one of these was on a pathway as you were walking up to this church. So, as you were walking, you were reading these, and my heart just melted. It was just an amazing experience. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Now, every one of these, just so you know, could be preached on, right? I mean, you could have a sermon based around everyone, right, Chuck? Blessed are the clean of the heart, and they will see God. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers that are called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of the righteousness, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Go ahead. This was a moment for me, and I said, this is the moment. This was the moment for me when I kind of broke down and kind of lost it. I could picture him giving these beatitudes, and as the people were listening and watching, and as they were taking this all in, because remember, at that point, they were serving out of obligation. Can you imagine? You know, that's what religion is, right? That's what we do. That's because we do it, and that's because our dad did it, and this is religion, and this is the way it is. You know, I'll never forget wearing jeans to church, and I wanted to wear jeans to church, and everybody, you know, you can't wear jeans to church. Well, why not? Well, I don't have a real good reason, but that's why you can't wear jeans to church. I am not a religious person. So this experience for me was different because I could see Jesus talking to the people and connecting with them and just looking at them and say, hey, blessed are the peacemakers. You know, and that at that moment, it was like, oh my gosh, I could see this happening in the crowd. And then as the Bible talks about Jesus, you know, talking to this crowd, and then he goes down by the sea. So you could see where the Bible actually comes to life and connects all this, which was amazing to me. It's one thing to read in the Word, the stories, and then it's another thing to be there and to be able to connect the dots. Go ahead, Polly. So this was a synagogue church in 20 AD. You can't see very well. I didn't have a professional camera hanging around my neck, but you can see how old that is. It was just amazing. It's believed to be where Jesus probably taught there because it was so close to the Sea of Galilee. And, you know, when you're talking about traveling, just so you know, give you a scale of Israel, it's about the size of New Jersey. So that's Israel. So when I say that we covered most of Israel, you can cover most of Israel in a few days. So go ahead, Paulie. The town of Jesus. You can see a small map there. Keep going, Paulie. Capernaum. You'll see that. That's where it's believed. That's an old synagogue there where Jesus, they believe that he taught there. You'll see the beautiful pillars in the background. Now that's not original. Actually, down levels, that would be original, but that obviously is hundreds, if not thousands of years old. This is this white synagogue. It was built upon the remains of the synagogue of Jesus where they believe that a lot of his teachings took place. Go ahead, Paulie. And then this was also just an amazing experience. Peter's house. In Mark 1 and in Luke 4, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. In Matthew 8 and 16 through 18, so much happened here. If you remember, Chuck, you remember when Jesus was up all night casting out devils? And he was doing healings all night. Then it says he went down to the sea. This is the location. Absolutely amazing. Now, there's been structures built over top of it to conserve it now. But as you can see, if you could look way down in there, you could see basically old rooms. And when you think of a room, we think of almost a living room, right? Where people are very small rooms. Very, very small rooms. Go ahead, Polly. Is that a video, Polly? Okay. So you can see that structure built across the top of it, and then there's a fence so you can't get in inside of it. But above in that structure, if you're ever able to go, which I highly, highly encourage, in that structure you can look down on glass and you could see right into the house. That was something that we didn't do. I will do it when I go back. Now, this was an orientation meeting with Elliot Chodoff. Some of you will know that name if you've ever been to the CUFI meetings. He's a strategic military, basically, you know, conflict in the region expert. He'll tell you all about what's going on in the region. And he is the guy when you want to be around the man. He tells you things that you may not want to hear, but he'll talk to you about conflict in that region, how he thinks that it'll play out long term. It just is going to be a very long road ahead. So that was that night, and I can tell you, Pastor Eli, he was shot. He was very tired. That was funny. As a pastor falling asleep on a bus. That was awesome. Day four, Tiberias, the border outpost to meet the soldiers. This was an amazing experience. I'll just show you some pictures. This is an overlook we got to visit. Tanks are running. We're standing up on top of them. Go ahead. You could see, I mean, this was a live outpost. Keep going. So we visited Mount Bethnal. It's a lookout towards Syria and the east. The Hermon slopes to the north in the southern Golan Heights. So this whole region here, as you look out, is not Israel. So there's a lot of conflict in that area. And basically what Victor will tell you in a couple weeks, if you get a chance to come in 2 weeks, you will not want to miss it. He is amazing. But what he'll tell you is these surrounding countries all want this land. But see how high this land is? They cannot give that land up. It's absolutely, from a military perspective, you do not want to give the high ground up, right? So this is an amazing outpost, amazing look into the whole region. While we were there, way off in the distance, way off, Mom, don't worry, way off, you could hear some explosions. Not to the degree that you think it is, like boom, like that. You could hear way off. You could hear boom, you know, like that. So it was pretty intense. Another just picturesque picture, just overlooking, and this is overlooked strategic military site. Keep going. United Nations observer, very nice people, but they're observing that conflict that's always going on there. Go ahead, Pauly. We got to eat dinner, a Glan style dinner. Awesome guys, Pastor Randy, Pastor Dan, awesome dudes all together. We ate. You'll recognize some of those faces. Anybody recognize those faces? Yes, of course you do. Go ahead. And then we got to listen to a Holocaust survivor. If you've ever had a chance to listen to a Holocaust survivor, this gentleman, some of the stories that he shared, I wouldn't do him justice giving you a real brief overview. But when I tell you the atrocities that happened there, it just will blow your mind. So if you ever get a chance to listen, jump on YouTube, meet somebody. It's amazing. That whole region is getting over. This is Jamin. She sent me a bunch of Snapchats one night, and I said, I think my family misses me. So keep going. Tiberias, Jerusalem, Nazareth, visit Father Gabriel Nadav. Now, this is a Christian recruitment gentleman that actually goes out and tries to recruit not only Israelis, but also Muslims, and teaches them the importance of serving in the military, but through that also ministers to them. So I wanted you to take a listen really quick. Listen to what he has to say. Just an experience. If you've ever heard somebody speak and translate, you'll understand how amazing this is. Go ahead.
Why don't they teach us that?
Can you turn it up?
אם לומדים את הסיפור הזה, אנחנו היינו יכולים להיות תמועים כנוצרים באדמה הזו.
If we studied this story, we could have been more belong to this land.
לא לימדו אותנו גם על מלחמת הצלבנים שבאו פה הצלבנים.
They never told us about the crusades that came over here. No question.
שזאת אנחנו מתנערים מהמלחמה הזאת.
We try to take it out of us, this war.
והיא לא מייצגת את הנוצרים.
It's not representing the Christians.
אנחנו לא לומדים על הפרסים שבאו פה בשנת 614.
Don't learn about the Persians who came here 614.
והרסו ושרפו ונזרים וכנסיות.
Churches and monasteries.
את זה לא מלמדים את הילדים הקטנים היום.
They don't teach the little kids.
Okay, Polly. What he's talking about is in 614, the Persians came and wiped that whole region out. And he's talking about how that's not taught in schools, and the world is taking this knowledge and not spreading this knowledge, and they're not even teaching it in history books. So our children are growing up not knowing the persecution of the Jewish people, not knowing that this was originally their land, and that's why there's a lot of conflict. So as we grow up, as you kids grow up, and as adults, we have an obligation to protect this land so it doesn't continue to be exploited. So you'll keep seeing that. What an amazing experience that was. Visiting the Garden of Gethsemane, I mean, if you've ever wanted to experience anything, this was this is where Jesus was. This was his where he prayed, and he basically the night before he was crucified, he prayed there. Keep going, Paulie. And this was the church that was built in the garden to honor him. And then in the middle of this church is this, which was just amazing. There was a rock where they believe where he prayed. People go up and touch the rock. I absolutely touched the rock. You know, when you have faith and your heart is right, the experience of this is just amazing. This was an old church that we went into that they let groups sing in. So this was 30 pastors giving their best attempt at singing. I happen to be very low on that scale, not singing as loud. Beautiful, though. Take a listen. Go ahead, Paulie. That was a video. The last one, Paulie. Yep, that one. Okay, Paulie. That was the church there. Absolutely amazing experience. Old Century Church that we got to sing in. Just truly amazing. I want you to take a listen to this. Go back, Paulie. I want you to take a listen to this. This is the video. This is right in downtown. This is right almost near the market, Jerusalem area, right in the city. But I want you to take a listen. This is the conflict that's going on right now. Listen to this. This is a mosque. This is a call to prayer. So as the Jewish people are walking and carry on their normal life, they've actually given some locations to mosques. So they've built these huge speakers and they blared them throughout the city. That really touched me. That really bothered me because without friends of Israel and without us standing with Israel, this conflict will get out of hand. And I thought that was out of hand. That was it hurt me. You know, it hurt your heart. If your heart's open and you love the people of Israel and love the Jewish people like you're supposed to, that hurts. Take a look. Victor, this was to Dad. Go ahead.
Victor, say hi to my dad.
Hey, Pastor. So we've stopped at Israel's most authentic old school Turkish coffee. We're doing this for you, man. We're doing it for the fatherland. Right here, watch.
Look at this,
man. Watch this.
This coffee was like mud.
We went down almost a secret alley. We're the only ones here because our guide took us here. But we're doing this for you.
Hey,
wish
Dad,
you were here.
Love you. Wish you were here.
Coffee with a bit of sugar.
Great.
Our face is a little funny because of the setup, but we all the pastors got coffee, and that was just a cool experience. I kept on telling them. I said, "My dad would love this. Your dad was here." I go, "Oh, darn." So Shabbat dinner was on Friday night with host family. It was amazing. No phones, no technology, no working. Shabbat, as people prepare for Shabbat, they honor the Lord in that they spend time with their families. That no working, no technology, no nothing. Only family time. So my wife and I had talked. We really have tried to on our Friday nights, or we pick a night, Saturday night. We're bad at it sometimes, but we try to really have a family night and focus in on just being together. So no technology, no doing dishes, no making food. All of the food is prepared for dinner prior to this time starting. It's from sundown on Friday night to sundown on Saturday. So really you spend all day, and then Sunday is a work day for them. So what an amazing experience. Nice family. They had 30 pastors in their home. We were in there like sardines, but guess what? It was just an amazing experience. And to see this person, this gentleman, sang love songs over his wife and to his children. And to see the connection that they were able to make without technology distractions, all that, that was just an amazing experience in itself. The Western Wall, I didn't take pictures of the Western Wall. When I walked in, I could feel my knees get a little weak. This is a place that of prayer. God said he'll have his eye on this wall. That's why people go there to pray there for all of eternity. So this was in the middle of the city. And when I tell you this is an amazing experience, you're fighting your way to get up into the wall. And you write down prayers on a piece of paper. And as you write down this prayer, you crumple it up really, really small. And you stick it into the wall as people will pray over it. And all of you are included, my city church family. And I wrote a prayer for all of you. Day six, we visited the security fence and the IDF checkpoints. This is to make sure that nobody comes in with anything to hurt. You remember the bombings for years that all went on. They put in a security fence and a checkpoint. Take a look. This is 5% of the security fence is this wall. 5%.
That's true.
So this is the area. This is the West Bank. And as you can see, it's no joke. So that's, when you hear about the wall that they built, everybody heard about the wall in the news, the wall, it's 5%. It's actually only 5% of this, the most of it's a fence. The reason they built that is because people were, it was a serious problem. So we got to meet the gentleman that actually engineered the fence. Go ahead, Polly. And then we visited Masada. This is King Harold's desert fortress. This is a palace and his last stronghold of the Jewish zealots against the Roman domination. 73 EC is what it's called, but it's BC, the way most of us understand it. Go ahead, Polly. See this video. So this whole area is very desolate. It's out in the desert, but you can see the flag there. As you just look around, there's a lot of nothing, but in the distance, you'll be able to see the Dead Sea. That's what's there. So keep going, Polly. One more. So as you see this is looking down from the top where the fortress was, but this is looking down what the Romans did because this was up on top of a mountain. So they were protected up on this mountain, and they couldn't get up to that mountain through the passes. So what they did is literally they built almost a hill all the way up to this fortress with the Roman soldiers and the Jewish slaves. So literally they looked down and they saw the Jews, saw the Jewish slaves building this roadway all the way up to this top fortress. Just an amazing experience. Look up Masada when you get a chance. It's a fantastic study. Go ahead. And then Golgotha, where Jesus was crucified. This was what we know as Calvary, the place of the skull. You'll see that skull-like structure there. And we believe that right below that is where Jesus was crucified. Go ahead, Polly.
Golgotha, where it's believed that Jesus was crucified. And the
pause it, Polly. What are you doing, Polly? So this, up on the top there, up right up on the top, the Muslims had purchased land. It says there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. That is the struggle that's going on there right now. If that doesn't grab your attention and amaze you, nothing can or will. So this is the conflict that's there right now. Go ahead, Polly. Those were those signs up there. I don't know if you can see them. Yep, see that? Those are those signs. And right to the right is basically Calvary, where he shed his blood for all of us. Okay, Paul, go ahead to the next slide. And then the Dead Sea. I made some notes on the Dead Sea. It's an amazing experience. The Dead Sea is so salty and so buoyant, you can actually float in the sea. Have you ever floated in water without moving? Never, right? You could just float. You could just lay there. So modern-day Sodom, anybody know what Sodom is? Sodom and Gomorrah? Does that ring a bell? 40 miles long, it's 11 miles wide at its widest, 4,000 feet below sea level. It's 10 times saltier than any seawater. It's also known as the Sea, Salt Sea, Eastern Sea. Those are the biblical references, and nothing can live around it or in it. So when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, what did he do? I mean, it was it, right? But his promise is that that land will be returned. So it's also referred to as the teardrop of God. God's judgment is not small. I mean, he turned Sodom and Gomorrah into a barren land. So I only have one picture here. You can see, I don't know if you can see the feet hanging up on the left-hand side. You can see Pastor Eli there. He's a little, you know, second guy in is me looking at Pastor Eli, and we're talking. But my feet are right up in the water. My hands are right up. And literally, you don't have to move. You're floating in the water. Amazing experience. The Dead Sea, some of the most good for your skin, good for your body. You've seen the Dead Sea in the malls, probably, right? Okay, day 8, we visited the Garden Tomb. He is risen. There is a tomb. I wish I had more pictures, and I will share more pictures with you. But, oh my gosh, the emotion that you go through when you see these places, you totally forget taking so many pictures. That's what's believed to be Jesus' tomb. And the stone is not there. Go ahead back, Polly. Go back. The stone is not there. They actually took the stone on display someplace else. But that is known as the Garden Tomb. We had a great time of prayer, a great time with one of the pastors sharing, you know, reading about, you know, what took place there. And obviously that's not his tomb. That was just his temporary place to hang out, right? All right. I'm glad you thought that was funny. Go ahead, play that. This is old. This is a display of basically the old city, but way, way back. Now, I wish you could see it. But this is a replica. They built this replica, and you can see the whole city. It's amazing. It takes up, Bruce, almost to you, all the way across, all the way to you, Ronnie, and all the way to me. It's a huge display of what the old city would look like. Just amazing. Just words can't describe how when you look at it. But you could see the streets. You could see where he explained where the Holy of Holies would be. He explained where the theater would be. Just so many things became real when you saw that like that. Go ahead, Polly. We weren't able to take pictures in the Holocaust Museum. So this was, as you walk out of the museum, this was the picturesque picture that you see. I actually honored the request to not take pictures in the museum. I thought that it was a solemn place, very real to me, but one of the most beautiful experiences that I've had that was touching to me because to know the persecution that the Jewish people have been through and their resolve and what they've done, but yet they still believe in God and the Father. The Holocaust Museum really was, it was a difficult place to go. I'll share one story with you. They had just hundreds and hundreds of shoes. They're children's shoes in underneath this floor in this glass case. Hundreds and hundreds of shoes that were basically collected to put on display where children were murdered, really. So just an amazing, touching place. But I wanted to show you that picture. As you walked out, that was the picture you saw. Go ahead, Polly. And then that's Pastor Hurston, Bishop Hurston, and I. And I was in the seat ahead of him. I was still smiling. I think he was a little tired by then. So that was my trip to Israel. I wanted to share it with you. I really appreciate you giving me the time tonight. I wanted to ask before I wrapped up, did anybody have any specific questions or anything like that about safety or anything like that? Pastor Victor will be here in 2 weeks. CUFI is the organization that I went with. I support them wholeheartedly now, especially after seeing that. I've learned more about the region. I've learned more about the conflict. We couldn't even go to Bethlehem. It's on the other side of the security fence, and that land was given basically to the other side on that whole conflict. And if you're aware of what's going on there, I'm trying to simplify everything right now, but we couldn't even visit there. So does anybody have any specific questions about safety or anything like that? I felt safe the whole time. If you ever want to go on a trip there, I think it's a trip of a lifetime. if you're a believer, I think it would be an absolute must-do for you. It's going to be a must-do for me again, and my family. I'm going to take my family very soon because that place is that's a place that's unsettling. It could go very unsafe, and then it could be very safe. And right now, it's a very safe region. Anybody have any questions? I know this wasn't the jumping and hollering night that maybe some of you like, but I wanted to show you that, some of my experiences. What's that? Yeah. Your family? Yes, of course you can go with me. This is my church family. I actually took a video while I was there in Jerusalem, and I said, hey, I can't wait to join you on our trip to Israel. And I was basically doing the video in preparation to market it for a future trip. And I can't wait to go back. We haven't planned it yet, but we're going to go for sure. Oh, so what was my preconceived thought of the trip? And then the summary. I was scared out of my mind going to Israel. I remember my dad asking me 2 or 3 years ago, he says, do you have any interest in going? I said, no. He says, really? I said, no, I don't want to go. I have no interest in going at all. I'd have to leave my life, my work, my family, my job. The Lord literally worked on my heart for 3 years. And when he asked me this time, he says, you want to go to Israel? I said, well, I think Ryan should go. And he goes, well, Ryan and Garrett said that they think you should go. And I said, well, let me think about it. And I think I texted him 15 minutes later. I said, yeah, I'd love to go. So my preconceived notion was that it was going to be in ruins. I didn't know how safe I'd be. Totally safe, totally a great experience. And I believe that it's something, if I don't get involved to help and stand up for the Jewish people, I'm not sure what will happen in that region. So I believe it's part of my responsibility now to take action and not just say, oh, watch the news and say, oh, geez, that's too bad, but take action. You know how you can only get involved in so many things? This is something for a busy guy that I really believe that if unless we as a people intervene and get active and lobby and support, that whole region will become a place where none of us will ever be able to go. That was my summary to the whole thing. So I believe that we have to get involved as a people. We have a lot of reasons to why to get involved there. And if we don't, it's not good. Because the people that don't want that there and don't want us visiting there are they're very extreme. When I was with Victor, I said to my dad, I said, hey, I never was worried one time about anything. I mean, this guy stands 6'4", and he's not afraid of anything. He'll stare down the devil and a lion, and, you know, he'll go right after it. But you almost have to be like that, dealing with people that aren't afraid to blow themselves up in the name of their religion. Sometimes we're afraid to, you know, we don't want to go and be inconvenienced at all. Or, geez, we ran out of coffee. I'm upset now. We're talking about people that will literally blow themselves up for their cause. So we have to be even a little more extreme nowadays. Anybody have any other questions? All right. I love you all. Thank you, guys.